916-909-1320, Oak Grove Kia Talk Line. Our man TC on the line. TC, what's good, baby?
What's up, bro? Hey, what's up with my two brothers, man?
What's good, TC?
Man, I'm frustrated, bro. I'm frustrated, bro, because I'm not with the rebuild, bro. I'm against that, dog. That's idiotic to me. I'm not selling off Doma. I'm not doing none of that, dog. Like, DeMar, I love you, bro, but if you, like, ready, you don't want to go, bro, then we'll figure a spot for you on the offseason. Get some pieces in here, whatever we can get back for you, bro, and add to what we got going on and keep it pushing. I'm not with no OKC tanking 70% of the fan base. Like, I'm not with none of that, bro. Ain't nobody finna tell me about tanking, dog. I'm against that, dog, period. You can do what you want to do with the roster. We can make some tweaks. DeMar, you got to go to the bench. Zach, you got to go to the bench. Whatever you want to do, bro. But as far as today, hey, let's shut it down. Tanking, Domas, how many first-round picks? Keegan, Malik Monk. I'm not, bro, D-Lo and Casey, I'm not with none of that, dog. That's all I got, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think that's where we're at. I don't think that's where we are. I think what it really boils down to is the decision that Vivek Ranadive makes this offseason with the front office. Are they back or are they not? If they're back, I think unless DeMar says, get me out of here, unless Domas says, get me out of here, unless any of that happens, I think the likelihood of us seeing, you know, run it back, it's something similar, probably pretty likely. If he moves on from the front office, unless the front office do their job, then that could be an entirely different thing. Like, your job will be to figure out, you know, what this franchise looks like moving forward. And can you salvage what you have? Can you turn this into something, knowing you probably can't trade Zach LaVine? Can you figure it out? But the step one will be whether this front office is back or not.
Yeah,
and you're going to have to figure that out pretty quick, because you just laid out name after name after name. It's not Dame. It's not Steph. It's not Luka. She's named a bunch of guys that they've missed on that we're not even talking about A1 alpha dog Olympic champion type guys. We're talking about guys who would just help your team right now.
Yeah,
we're talking about guys that would balance out your squad a little bit and help.
Yeah, man. They got Vivek, like you said. Vivek has that decision to make. Mm-hmm. How do you want to go about this? And then I'm all for.
I'm also going to need Vivek to sit his ass down.
What you mean?
He need to sit down. Come on, man. We know Zach LaVine was a Vivek Ranadive call. That's Vivek's guy. And again, I get why you do it. I get it. I just, looking back on this, I wonder if, you know, since we were using the term ceiling earlier, was the ceiling, because we thought at worst we're probably lateral with De'Aaron. Was the ceiling just a lateral move, but the floor was significantly lower?
Possibly.
Because I don't think you can make the move if, yeah, like, to me, the ceiling would have to be, you know, lateral, and the floor would have to be maybe only slightly less. It doesn't feel like it's only slightly less. It feels like it could be substantially worse. And that's why I said last week the Kings might have been better off trying to work exclusively with San Antonio and just trying to get a deal done with them. And I don't want to say a conventional deal, but do a deal where you trade a first-round pick, two first-round picks, whatever it is, one player, I don't care which one, and you make the money work and you make the trade machine work and you do the deal that way.
So you think, like, Zach LaVine is changing the fortunes that much in a negative way? Potentially?
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. I want to at least give you a reason. Like, if Zach's not here, we're not wondering where Keon's playing, right? And, you know, we could have conversations about point guards and, you know, Malik and, you know, figuring all of that out. Like, I get it. But I don't think there's a... Whatever you got back, and let's say you still landed Valanciunas and Jake LaRavion, whatever you got back from San Antonio, if you had done a deal with just San Antonio, mm-hmm. I don't think it's as difficult an integration as Zach LaVine is. Mm. Zach LaVine is difficult to integrate because he really is he's a really high-end talent. Like, he's really good. But you need a setting for him. And I don't know if the Kings have that or not.
And that's fair. And but when I hear that, I also think about, because I heard him talking about it on the Insiders as well. Like, they were like, James Hamm coming on at 3:00. They were talking about, like, Domantas Sabonis and how, you know, they don't have the chemistry because you need to know how to play with Sabonis. And, you know, he's a very specific type of player. I mean, I don't want to say that's an issue, but that's the same as, like, what people talk about with Zach LaVine. Like, you need a specific roster and situation around LaVine for him to be successful, for him to work at his max. And people look at that as a negative. It sounds like the same thing for Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
Could and be. That's in here, at least, I think. Other places, they may be looking at it as a negative. But here, that's not looked at as a negative. It's like, just kind of skates free. And the thing that I get out of all this is, like, we said the same thing about De'Aaron Fox before Sabonis got here and all this other stuff. Like, to your original point, they don't have that guy. They don't have that guy. Like, all these guys, to a certain degree, not all of them, a lot of them are a problem. Like, if you need a specific offense or roster build for someone to be successful,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're necessarily doing then. Like, I don't know what we're doing. Like, what are we're spinning our wheels with all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it comes out like I just think he's a good player. Like, I don't think he's the end all be all. I see his flaws or whatever. Like, it's not a big deal to me at all. But it's just, I don't subscribe to, like, and not saying you said this, but I've heard it. Zach got here and just everything's messed up because Zach LaVine is here. And I don't think that's accurate.
Nah, I just, yeah, that's definitely not the case. I just, it feels like, well, maybe to go back to that line Doug was using, it just feels like they're thinking more. And I mean, you tell me, would they be thinking this much if it was just Valanciunas and LaRavia?
They wouldn't be thinking as much. I think it would be a little, it'd be more cohesive. But at the same time, this is what I always point back to. We saw something like that at the end of last year, and they weren't successful. Like, there weren't ball stoppers, there weren't anything, because Malik was gone, Kevin was gone, yeah. And it was Fox, the bonus, you threw Keon in there, you had Keegan had to step up or whatever, and they didn't win. They blew 20-point lead after 20-point lead because they didn't have, when things got tight, they couldn't hold on to a lead, and they couldn't reach another level.
That's fair.
And I think that, to answer your question, that's what, if you didn't get a Zach LaVine type back in this deal, that's more so what this group would look like. And nobody liked that last year.
Okay. The only pushback I'll give on that, because obviously everything you just said is factual, you also didn't have replacements for those guys. So it's like it was literally Herter and Monk were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. It's not like Herter and Monk were gone, but you had so-and-so and so-and-so instead.
Right.
Like, you just lost your depth. You had nothing, and you had to survive off of that. And because of that, as you know, we've beat this storyline to death, but no one was afraid of Sacramento. It was just, oh, just guard De'Aaron. They literally don't have a single other creator on their team. just make De'Aaron's life miserable and we'll be just fine. And that's what happened down the stretch. Like, you had nothing to step in and help that. You know who would have helped? Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine definitely would have helped.
He would have helped last year.
But and I'm not saying that you're saying this is what it would be when people were just like, just don't worry about LaVine, deal with San Antonio. Like, you're getting like Keldon Johnson back. Like, yeah, Keldon Johnson is a piece, but they would have. Malik Monk's the only one that can create. Double him every chance you get.
But DeMar can.
DeMar can. So that is a difference from last year as well.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Let's get Lazy in here. 916-909-1320. What's up, Lazy?
Yo, D-Lo KC, what's popping, guys?
What's good, man?
Hey, what's up? Hey, KC, man, I just want to jump on the point you mentioned earlier, man. A lot of people are piling on Zach LaVine like this is his fault. Yo, this team was flawed before Zach LaVine got here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same people that don't like the Kings now was praising this Kings team when De'Aaron Fox had to drop 60 to beat the Utah Jazz. You know, some of the issues was the Kings didn't have a lot of defenders. Monty obviously didn't get any. I know the team is kind of in like that no man's land. They're not good enough to be real contenders, and they're not bad enough to be high in the lottery. If it was me, I would rebuild, but it just doesn't seem like a lot of people don't have the patience for it. And even if we do rebuild, we don't really trust maybe some of the people making those decisions. Going forward for the Kings, I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm going to be at the game tonight, capturing footage for ESPN 1320. Everyone be sure to like that content tonight.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know why Leezy's voice was so deep today, but it's good stuff, Leezy. Appreciate you, man. I don't know why Leezy isn't on a credential. Like, he works. She should be our photog. All these companies have photogs.
Yeah.
Don't take your hate on me out on Leezy. Like, just get Leezy a credential next year. Leezy, you can have mine. Give Leezy my credential. Phone line's open for you if you want to talk about this basketball team or any other basketball team, or you want to talk about anything. 916-909-1320. I did mention, and we didn't do it yet, looking at the rest of the Western Conference. So we'll do that. We'll dive into what the conference looks like. Do want to do like a couple of football things, because there are some big stories that there's an interesting story that's starting to develop. It might involve the Raiders. The combine is this week. I didn't realize we had gotten to this point, but I guess Matt Stafford in Los Angeles are headed they're headed for a split here. And I knew Stafford wanted the restructure, but I thought like restructure for 2 years, not really a big deal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't appear Los Angeles feels that way. So how are the Raiders going to get involved in this? Well, we'll talk about that as well. You mentioned Domantas Sabonis. I want to talk about him. We haven't talked about Markelle Fultz's debut, so there's a lot to dive into here still with the Sacramento Kings. We're thrilled that you're here with us, as always, whether it's on Twitch, Twitter, whether it's on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or on 1320 AM. We'll come back. Steelo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Well, all right.
Did you find it?
Yep.
Oh, boy. That was crazy.
Y'all think I'm playing? I do not open Twitter on the weekends. Twitter is pretty much open through the duration of this show. It just kind of stays in front of me, and it's on a tab. But after that, I don't really pay attention to it. Sometimes if I know there's a big story or if some news is breaking or you know, the Kings are playing. Oh.
Yeah, that one got crazy. That one got crazy.
Oh, man. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, it's not great.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, man.
All right. Yeah. There's a lot going on here.
It's wildin'.
Well, if you're not caught up, go ahead. Well, looking at the chat, if everybody's caught up.
It was wildin'.
Y'all need to start sending me this stuff. If it's the weekend, just send it.
I thought you would have saw it or something.
No, I don't. Y'all think I'm playing.
Brother was calling Steve. What do you have to say for yourself?
Oh, man.
That one was all over the place.
Did
it's a bad weekend of
Did Steve Smith say, I'm sorry?
I don't think he
said no. It. Oh. He called him. He's like, and he says, like, kind of under his, like, I'm sorry. Like, kind of like, whatever, bro. Like, can we move on now? And the guy's like, this is all you have to say for yourself? You're not a man.
Oh man.
Yeah, that one was, like I said, they had the memes going.
You can't take that to social media either, because that's just going to make the situation 100 times worse. Bro, like, you're not going to feel any better, pal.
You're not going to feel any better.
Yes.
I don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like D-Lo and Casey are talking about on their show right now.
Bro, I hate to be this way. I don't care. I don't care. I don't
eggs
know
are ten,
you.
Eggs are $10. What do you want me to do about
I don't,
you right
I don't
now?
Even know you,
I'm trying
bro.
To pay for groceries over here.
Like, I feel what they say, secondhand embarrassment. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
Like, you even putting this out here. What did you think was going to happen? People are going to feel sympathy for you?
Well, what am I supposed to do about Steve Smith sleeping with your wife?
It's not my job. It's not my job.
Okay.
Oh.
You find something newer.
No, y'all can't do this, like, live.
Well, you have thoughts? Like, show your thoughts.
Yeah,
you're
learning
on the fly. Like, you got?
What's good? I'm just catching up. Like apparently, the girl posted, like, her own message on Facebook.
She posted her side of the story?
Yeah. Oh, so
I didn't see that.
Well, I'm catching y'all up. Now I'm reading her story. And, like, why she got these? Why is Steve Smith sending these weird
the smile?
Like,
crazy.
Nothing about that screams sexy. Like,
the smile joint is crazy.
The smile, yo. Hey, y'all are wild, man.
Imagine you're like Steve Smith on your fantasy football team at one point, too.
Yeah, man. This all should have been handled internally.
Dude's got to know, too. Like, Twitter's just not a good place right now.
Yeah, but how much fun would this be if it was handled internally?
It'd be a lot less stressful, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but it ain't fun for me. It's just like, oh, okay.
Okay. This is a serious question.
Uh-huh.
If your wife cheated on you, you're calling the dude that she cheated with?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
That's clown behavior.
Okay. Thank you.
That's what we've been talking about, though. Okay. Like, calling him, putting it on social media. Okay. Bro, you look like a fool.
Okay. Brother's just really hurt.
You look like an act. Bro.
But that feels like misdirected anger to me. Like, I get it. Maybe it's easier to be mad at the guy, but. And, you ain't marry him.
And once again, even if you do that, like, okay, you did that. You called him, whatever, you text him, whatever the case may be. Bro, putting a message. You look like a fool.
Yeah. Like, why are you talking to Antonio
like
Brown?
Absolute fool.
What is Antonio Brown going to do about this?
Hold on. He tagged Antonio Brown.
Pretty sure he tagged AB84.
Oh, man.
I mean,
I can't believe y'all didn't send this to me.
Look, man, I feel sorry for the brother. I didn't want it to happen. I don't ever want it to happen or whatever. But
stay off the internet for a while, bro.
Yeah, you look crazy. You look crazy.
Go for a walk.
In some circles, I'm not saying this is how I feel. I'm just saying in some circles, you're making her look justified. Because
now you're looking like a crazy one.
Yeah, this is the way that you move.
His boy should have told him, no, don't do that. Mm. Assuming that they knew.
I think he went rogue.
I can't get over the selfies. The selfies is just wild. Like, if I'm trying to turn my girl on, like, I'm, like, you went with the low. Like, that is crazy.
Oh, that wasn't even the craziest thing that happened this weekend.
Oh, there's more. Oh, man. Well, what do I got to search now?
What else happened?
This one wild, bro. This one wild. Jesse, I don't think I can tag you, but damn, I'm a tag you on Instagram.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah. We don't hang out.
Or maybe it's everywhere. Maybe it's everywhere, but this is where I keep seeing it. Y'all see
See, okay.
This is like funny, but I need an apology.
Text it in the group chat.
Well,
so I can keyword search on Twitter.
Did you see that robot attack the people?
Oh, my dad sent me that. Come on, man. Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Whoa.
I told y'all this was about to happen, man. I told y'all years ago this was about to happen. It was crazy. Did you see his name?
No, you ain't telling
me. Okay, I'm about to talk to you right now. Complex, go ahead, because you're the closest one. Complex and Damien don't get this one. But come
faulty
on,
robot attacks human. So your wife sent me the robot man. Oh!
Yeah, come on. You see how he bowed up on him?
Well, you see.
He like starts staring him down like, yo, I got a problem with you.
It's not faulty, by the way. The robot meant to do that.
Yeah,
that like faulty. It's not like, yeah, oh, yeah, malfunction. Like faulty. The robot was like, no, I'm going to beat this guy's ass.
The robot like headbutted. Yeah. Yeah, brother was like, hey.
Come on, bro.
So your wife sent me the butler. The little robot butler?
I don't even think I seen that. Maybe I didn't even see it yet, but
she probably knows if she sends you something, you ain't never gonna look at it. Where's Jasmine? There she is. Yeah, no, it's this guy right here.
Yeah. I didn't come on, man.
This guy makes you coffee. Look at come on, man, get out of here. Bro. This is crazy. Yeah. We're dead.
Yeah, because like if that robot and he punches me in the face, like, what? I got to fight the robot now.
No, just remember this.
Yeah, you could try.
Eggs are $20, but they got robots serving dudes coffee now.
Come on, man. How about just do stuff yourself?
We are cooked.
Yeah, if you're with the robots, then you're part of the problem.
This is...
Like I said, I think we should take the fight to them first.
What are we going to do?
The dweebs and the nerds out here giving them even more power.
Well, wasn't there a 9-foot robot
we need to plan this
last week?
Well, yeah, it was hanging on by the strings. Like, it was ready to be green-lighted.
Look.
We need to plan this out, guys.
Look, the sooner we realize we're dead, the better. Like, this is over.
What if we just stop talking
to kids? Like, you and Crystal, no kids. Because they'll get destroyed by robots.
Where don't they have robots?
Bro, they're starting to now get mad at us and attack people.
Nope.
And then he had to be held back by the people. Like, whoa, 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 whoa.
You know.
Watch him destroy you, too.
Yeah, what are they telling the robot? Chill, bro, chill. Telling the robot that.
You know who will survive is Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey will survive. Well, I saw the Kim Mulkey meme this morning.
That was funny.
I saw the Kim Mulkey meme from the game. That was great. Like, okay, Kim Mulkey will survive the robots. They won't mess with her. Somebody, Hater Report said... Somebody said Steve Smith Sr. cheated on his wife with Jeff Van Gundy, and I can't unsee it. And it has a picture of her next to Jeff Van Gundy, and it's only a small reach.
Oh, man. Look, man.
We need the real-life version of the Avengers.
Internet is crazy.
That's a wild place.
The real-life version of what?
The Avengers. We need superheroes at this point. We're cooked. We can't stop this on our own.
Need these aliens, man. Aliens got to come down here.
If we got robots, there's got to be an Iron Man out there or something. Like, come help us.
All the little dweebs. I hope they get them first. I do. I hope they...
Well, that's what the movies have,
hope
right?
They hog-tie them first.
They attack the creators first?
Yeah. Stupid. So smart, but they're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
What if we build a city at your compound?
Mm.
And put up walls and all that. I'm talking to you, KZ.
I don't have no compound. You got a compound. You see what they're doing in his backyard? What are we talking about?
Yeah, he's building a pool, though.
That's normal behavior.
He's building a vacation destination.
He did kind of sneak that by.
He's building a vacation destination. How? Don't talk about me no more.
He said, I don't want to go on vacation anymore. I'm tired of that stuff. I just want to go on vacation at my house. That was crazy.
It's facts. That's facts.
That is a gross manipulation of what I actually said.
That's facts. That's very accurate.
He said, I don't want to go on vacation, dot, dot, dot. I want the vacation at my house, dot, dot, dot.
95.7 the game Tapia over there. We asked for the Avengers. Instead, we got Elon's stupid ass with a chainsaw.
Oh, my gosh. Get him first, too. Get him in one of the early runs that they're going to go on.
King Stink and the robots are here. It doesn't get much worse, Pam, everyone.
And did The Rock is trying to take your soul.
Did you know on Friday I was at the game and I spent the whole third quarter and all of halftime arguing with my guy Leo about Zach LaVine and Keegan Murray. That was the longest argument I probably have ever been in.
Leo,
and then Marcus Thompson got involved too.
Leo strikes me as a guy who doesn't like Zach LaVine.
Oh, he hates Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I could believe that.
And he told me Keegan Murray's better than Zach LaVine. Keegan Murray's really good, man. He's a good ball player, but come on, man. We ain't got to do all that.
Keegan Murray's defense holds a lot of weight around these parts.
We ain't got to do all that.
What player does Leo like? Because I remember Keegan. He hated Kevin Herter, which was funny.
He likes Keegan.
He does like Keegan.
I'm trying to think anybody. He likes Keon.
Okay.
He likes those role players.
Okay.
He likes Sengun.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay. All right.
That's his boy.
All right. Him and Bonte. Load him some Sengun.
But yeah, that was just a. I was just because the game is on here right here in front of me on my. In front of my.
Yeah, that game did not get a second watch from me, bro.
I got little big league vibes in that one.
And I said, I didn't see any of this. The third quarter or halftime. Halftime is when I usually go take my lap and say what's up to my people. Well, didn't even do it. Because I was just stuck after he said, I said, who's better, Keegan Murray or Zach LaVerney? Keegan by a mile. I said, all right, man. We're going to have to talk about this real quick. Shout out, Leo, man.
Man got an opinion.
He want me to play on his team on Wednesdays, man. I gotta see if I can get up there. I was playing yesterday on Sunday. Shout out, West Sac. They keep pulling me back into the league. You know what I mean? Shout out. I was with that Sac City squad. I saw Io, but he was in the middle of the game. I didn't want to interrupt him. And I was running a little late.
Stay safe out there, man.
Yeah.
I am. The way I look
should
at
you stretch.
It. Definitely stretch. I stretched. The game was at 2. I started stretching at 12:45.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
It's a good call. Let's get Maddie in here. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line 916-909-1320. What's up, Maddie?
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up?
Nice to hear from you guys. I know this topic kind of been done to death a little bit, but I've always wanted your thoughts on it. So, like, when I was when I started watching basketball, Kobe was the man, and you know, Kobe was just dominating the game, and then LeBron, Melo, KD came, and like, for me, numbers and longevity play, like, such a big role in GOAT talk, right? And for my generation, Kobe was, like, the epitome of greatness and competitiveness. And probably the same way Jordan was, like, for y'all generation. How do you think, like, history will remember LeBron after he retires? Like, do you think it'll be kinder to him in the future when kind of the dust settles, or do you think people will still hold some of those claims of like lack of competitiveness against him when it comes to like GOAT talk?
First of all, I don't like the way you said your generation, as if we're, to be clear, I don't like the way you said that. I don't think LeBron's competitiveness is going to be called into question, especially after he's gone. I think when LeBron retires, his post retirement life will matter. Like, let's not forget, you know, prior to, you know, his passing, Kobe had arguably the greatest babyface turn in history. Like, he was a heel until he dropped that the basketball video, his retirement video. I forgot it had a name. I forgot what it was called. But he dropped that video and announced his final year, and he became the biggest babyface ever. Mm-hmm. And every arena he went to, like everywhere he went, like everything, it was just love and adulation for him. And then everything he did post career, you know, he wins an Oscar for that video. You know, he's really invested in his girls, and everywhere you see Kobe, you see one of his girls with him, mm-hmm. or multiples of his girls with him. Mm-hmm. So I do think, dear basketball, thank you, Jason. Mm-hmm. It changed, I think, the conversation about Kobe a little bit, plus the 60, the most memorable finale probably in history. Cause while there is a generation of people who pretend Michael Jordan won a championship on his last shot ever, he didn't. So going out with 60 is going to be remembered for a lifetime, especially for a guy like Kobe Bryant. I feel like the same can happen. I think LeBron will always be discussed a certain way, but if that last year is done right, if the post years are done a certain way, he could wind up getting that same like extra little, yeah, maybe LeBron was the greatest of all time.
See,
I don't think his competitiveness is going to be called into question, though.
It's not for me, but those people will talk about that. Because whether we all know he's the straw that stirs the drink. We all know that. But he is always complaining about something. Instead of, like it's never enough for LeBron. Like, you go get X amount of players or whatever, you know, whether it's true or not, the perception that, you know, he's maneuvering and trying to get people in and out and off of rosters. Like, you get that, and then it's not enough. Like, we just don't have enough. And then he'll throw his hands up and do all that. Like,
has he ever publicly said that?
No, but come on now. Come on. One of the things that happened over.
Just because he didn't hug Isaiah Thomas after the game winner doesn't mean.
Well, no, but like one of the things. And he's part of like the social media area too, so it's different. Like, well, I don't know if Magic would have done this or not. You know what I mean?
Literally asked to be traded.
Yeah.
Like his second year.
No, for sure. But he might have done the same things on social media that LeBron did. We just will never know. But the new one,
wild on social the media, new one boy.
People are talking about is like, did you see LeBron? Maybe not because you're not on Twitter. But I think, I don't know, Jesse, you can confirm. Did LeBron, did he screenshot the schedule and put it on his Instagram story?
Yeah, I saw that.
And was like, this is ridiculous. It's like, all right, man. All right, man. Come, like,
leaks conspiring against Bron.
It's little stuff like that, right? Like that we see, and it rubs people the wrong way. It doesn't bother me. It's LeBron. I find the entertainment in it, but there are people that are going to hold that kind of stuff against them.
What was the and just work with me here? Did you pick something up in the schedule? Like, was it a bunch of games in a short time? Was it like weird travel?
I didn't even look that deep into thing, but it was like all these good teams, maybe like a couple back to backs or something like that.
Okay.
And he screenshots the list of like seven games and was like, are you for real? So I'm like, are you for real? This is ridiculous. All right, LeBron. Okay. All right, man. But like I said, me personally, like, I ain't really tripping off Ron like that. So that's why I didn't even really read into the post. But
so just a quick Google search. This is insane.
I think he's upset because March 13th, they're in Milwaukee. March 14th, they're in Denver. And I think
it's six games in 8 nights.
Yeah.
So I hear you. I hear you. I'll take a different approach because we talk about LeBron lacking competitiveness and he changes teams and does all this stuff. You can feel however you want to about that. You can argue whether that's good or bad, or people of a different generation will say that's terrible because Michael never did it. That's great. Perfect. Everybody does it now, and they all do it because of him. I'll say this till the end of time. Well, now the apron. They do it because of the apron. They don't have a choice. Kevin Durant doesn't play for the Golden State Warriors if LeBron James doesn't play for the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is his push, like, yo, we can't do this. Like, how do we have stretches where we play one game in 6 days, but we have six games in 8 days in March?
One, because of the natural,
the rodeo,
you know, situations. Well, like, one of the, like.
Or the Grammys or whatever hits. Hits L.A. where they have to hit the road. I think it's the Grammys.
It is the Grammys. But one was because of
the Oscars, sorry.
And I don't know if there's any makeup games in here at all, but the L.A. Fires was one of the things. San Antonio is one of the games they had to make up. Is that on that list?
There is a game versus San Antonio, yes. So they had to make up Charlotte and San Antonio.
Yeah, they already made up Charlotte and
San Antonio. So that's the game that's squeezed between the 16th and 19th.
Yeah, like, all right, LeBron, like, all right. That wasn't the original schedule. So there's that. Second of all, maybe if the league.
Do you think he knew that?
I'm going to assume no. Because that's why. You know, if he would have known that, he would have been like, oh, okay, that's why it makes sense. But also, like, maybe you wouldn't have that. And I don't think it's a problem that they did this. But maybe you wouldn't have that if you wouldn't have pushed for a whole week after All-Star off. Remember, they would come back. They would come back from All-Star on like Tuesday. And then LeBron complained about that. And they said, all right, we won't come back till Thursday or Friday.
Hmm.
So that's another day for that you can get out of that six games in 8 days or something like that. Him complaining about it doesn't bother me.
All he said is this is insane.
he knows what he's doing. Him complaining about it doesn't bother me at all. But I'm just going to say, like, that's what, though he's had a lot of these moments that people will latch onto, and that's why they question his competitiveness. I think he's as competitive as anybody.
Man scored 40 points the other night.
I think he's as competitive as anybody that's ever played the game. But he complains. Like, we can't act like he does. He complains often about his teammates, about the league. He's always complaining. You don't think he does?
And this is all a measurement of, well, LeBron, Michael Jordan never complained.
Yeah, and I'm also aware enough to say maybe if Michael Jordan had Twitter, he'd do the same type of complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I'm not, it's a different era that LeBron is in where he can get his thoughts and his message out to the masses easier than maybe Mike could at that time. So he could have the same gripes as Michael Jordan always had in his mind or when he was at the card table playing. Like, he could have the same things. Mike just didn't have the avenues to express himself that way. So
fair to say, this question, is it fair to say the league is substantially bigger in the LeBron James era versus the Michael Jordan era?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I don't know what the point of that question was. In my head, I think that was going to take me somewhere, and then it turns out I don't think it is.
Just because the way I look at it, just because Michael, Magic, all these guys didn't have access to that stuff, doesn't mean LeBron has to do this stuff. Like, just because you have access to it doesn't mean you have to put on your stories. This is insane.
Okay, so so LeBron complains.
Mm-hmm.
Does it bother you that when Rodney King got his ass whooped, Michael Jordan didn't say anything?
It doesn't bother me. I understand why it bothers people, though. But it doesn't bother me.
And I've never heard anyone say Michael Jordan didn't say anything. I'm literally, obviously, I'm making a case for LeBron James' activism, which Michael is more known for not being an activist, and I don't think made his first public donation, and that is a very important part of this descriptor, public donation, until like 2020, when it was really cool that Black Lives Mattered. So I think when you have these conversations, like, it's fine. Let's just make sure we take into account, like, I know Michael never missed a shot, never missed a game winner, never lost a playoff series, none of that. But if we're going to have, like, honest conversations about stuff that's not basketball, well, let's have the conversation then.
And I don't think those things are related, though. And at the same time, you talk about public.
I think Maddie's question was the perception of LeBron James.
True. But you're right, the public donation, right? This isn't the same as making a school or anything like that. But wasn't it Magic that funded Malcolm X, the movie? Or Magic and Michael?
Yeah. Do you know the amount?
No, I don't.
$75,000. I had always heard that story, too. And because Spike would be like, thanks, Michael and Magic. Like, it was like, oh, that's... The studio didn't want to give him... They didn't want to give him the money to finish the movie.
Yeah.
So he got it from Michael and Magic. I literally found this out like a week ago. It was $75,000. And what Spike did is Spike called Magic, got the donation, then called Mike and was like, hey, just want to let you know, Magic donated $30,000 to finish the movie.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, all right, I'll donate $45,000 because I'm going to donate more than Magic. That's funny you asked that. I just learned that last week. I was like, there has to be another zero. Yeah, $75,000.
We'll good come back. For both of them.
That's a good weekend with Kenny. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about Domus. I do want to talk about this Matt Stafford situation. I know we haven't really gotten into football much. We haven't even looked at the rest of the conference yet, like I said we would. There's a lot ahead here. Yeah. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. We got some Beam money tonight.
We definitely got some Beam money. Hey, man. I'm not getting. We're not getting rid of Young Zell. We're not getting rid of the Beam. We're not getting rid of Beam Money.
Like the way we're definitely not getting rid of Young Zell.
We still cooking out here. All right, we still cooking. Beam Money going down. Shout out to Prize Picks. You know what I mean? I still got Beam Money going down. I did some stuff over the weekend with college basketball. I was up in there doing my thing, but Beam Money's back tonight, and we got a foreplay. We got a foreplay today. LaMelo Ball, 25 and a half points. I'm going more for LaMelo.
Wow.
LaMelo going to cook.
Okay.
He'll cook.
Kings, Kenny says Kings can't play defense. All right. What else we got? Well,
they can't. Well. But
also, Kenny states the obvious.
We got DeMar DeRozan, 21 and a half points. I'm going to go more on that one. DeMar had a good start to the game on Friday. Wasn't really be able to be impactful, but I think he'll have 21, more than 21 points. Domantas Sabonis, 18 and a half points. I think I'm going to go more on that one. And Zach LaVine, they got him at 7.5 three-pointers attempted. That's a lot. I'm going to go less.
Okay.
I'm going to go less on that, man. So, hey, go to Prize Picks, download the app, put in the promo code KIFM. You get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. PrizePicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run the game.
Oh, now it's a catchphrase. That's great. It's fine. Now he's Road Dog Kenny Caraway over here with catchphrases during the show. Come on, man. Hey, shout out to my man Josh. I don't know if he's listening. Went to Scott Seafood in Folsom over the weekend.
Hey, what'd you think? What'd you think?
Lord.
What'd you get?
Terrific. So there's a little wine joint upstairs. Went up there, had the oysters, which I'm a big fan of.
Okay.
As long as someone else puts the oysters together for me.
You never had oysters before, right? Or you weren't too familiar?
I had had them one time before in San Francisco. That was the only time. It was perfection. It was really good. Had these like ahi nachos, like wonton chips. Oh, crazy. So good. Then I had the ribeye.
Oh.
Yeah. So can't mess with that.
You can't. Unless you're Morton's, you know, according to D'Lo.
If you're Morton's, don't even put the damn steak on the grill.
Yeah, the Cajun ribeye is what I like, and he says throw that in the trash.
Matter of fact, just throw all the stuff in the dumpster and just close down the shop while you're at it. Because you guys stink.
Y'all said it, not me. Not me.
We're paraphrasing.
That's what we're doing. I love Scott's.
Scott's was fire.
I get all the seafood, but I really love their clam chowder.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll just order that. We'll order that like to go, like to pick up. Like we won't even dine in. Sometimes we're just like, yo, I need some good soup, man. Let me go get that clam chowder.
You get the right clam chowder, and it's perfect.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff over there. I'm glad you enjoyed Scott's.
Yeah, I did. I loved it. My man Josh helped us. He was a fan of the show. He's a Warriors fan. But we had a nice little conversation. He had called into the show a few years ago.
And were we nice to him?
Made sure. Yeah. Made sure we were well taken care of. So shout out Josh. Even sent out a little piece of like cheesecake. Dessert, man, which was nice. So had a great time out there.
That's what's up, man. They always looking out for D-Lo when he goes. That's great to see.
True, yeah. Always looking out for big time D-Lo.
Always, man. Yeah, man.
Did you wait or did you just kind of walk in?
Just kind of walked in, I'm sure.
Nah, I waited. Scott's was popping. I'm glad they had that wine bar up there because that was fun. The chance to just go hang out and have some oysters, drink some wine.
Okay, give it
a real good old-fashioned, too, but go ahead.
Old-fashioned. That's turned into my drink.
Yeah, that old-fashioned was... That old-fashioned actually left me concerned for a minute. I was like, let's walk around Folsom a little bit, because I'm strong.
I just real quick want to give a shout-out to my man Rick Warren, big fan of the show. He listens to D-Lo and KC all the time, legend here in Sacramento. He had the 2025 version of the Sacramento Black Expo on Saturday at Antioch Church, man. Shout out to him. Got to see him. Got to see all my people out there. Shout out to Stevante Clark, man. You know, I was wrapping it up with him. It was good times out there on Saturday, man. So, Rick is my man. I've known Rick since I was a young dude, man, and he said, man, I always listen to y'all, man. I always listen. So we'll just give him a shout out, man. Big ups to my man.
Appreciate it, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. We'll get back to basketball. We'll get back to the Kings, certainly. There's an interesting situation happening with Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. Pointed out for a couple of reasons, because it looks like they're headed for a separation. Stafford's due $25 million this season. He obviously wants to restructure. The cap hit for the Rams is $49 million. So they, I think, are less inclined to want to restructure and more inclined to just say, no, you want to talk to the Steelers, the Browns, the Giants, the Raiders? Go ahead. Allegedly, all of those teams and a handful of others, I guess, have inquired. Conversations have took place. Like, this is interesting because Stafford is under contract. It sounds like it's beneficial for everyone, including the Rams, for him to leave, to seek, you know, out a deal somewhere else. But this is a situation where we'll use the Raiders as an example because that's probably the team we care about the most in this conversation. The Raiders need to negotiate a deal with Matt Stafford prior to executing a trade with Los Angeles. It's like, okay, we'll sign you for what I assume would be a 2 to 3 year deal with something that amounts to $50 million something dollars annually. Okay, great. Now what's the trade? Because you still have to make the trade with Los Angeles. And what is the pick compensation for a quarterback? Because that's all we ever really talk about when it comes to the NFL is pick compensation. What's the compensation for a quarterback of Matt Stafford's age but ability? And I don't know the answer to that. But I know the combine is this week, which is why I didn't want to let this linger all throughout the week and not get to it. Because everybody's converging on Indianapolis now, and stuff can get done.
Do you still draft a quarterback if you're the Raiders, if you do land Matt Stafford?
Man, that's a great question.
I think you do. I don't know if you do it as early, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're at six. Do you really use that pick on a quarterback?
Well, how many years has Stafford given you two?
I would think 2 to 3.
That's my thought.
If there's a guy there you love, like you have your
Shedeur draft, Sanders is there at six.
And you love, man.
If man, Shedeur Matt, Sanders
I,
is there.
I was off by a year. Matt's 37.
If Shedeur Sanders is there at six.
Or the Mocs have been having him drop too a bit.
By the way, Shedeur going to be in the second round, by the way, they're talking.
Man, I was going to say, they've been talking about kind of crazy.
Crazy about Shedeur, man. They need to.
Well, except Ian Rappaport.
Crazy.
I did see that this morning.
What did he say, Roll?
Ian Rappaport got roughed up a little bit on Twitter for having what was described by Awful Announcing as a agent-friendly tweet, where it looks like he might have just copy and pasted what the agent sent him. Gave him the old Schefter, copy and pasted what the agent sent him and put it out there on Twitter.
Yeah, it happens.
No?
It happens for some of these guys. But if Shedeur is there, then I'm going to take Shedeur. And I guess because of everything going on, you got to make a decision on Stafford before you even get to the draft, right? That's kind of what you're thinking. I would not pursue Matthew Stafford if I were the Raiders, and I would wait to see what happens with Shedeur Sanders. If I didn't want to do that, and I'm all in on Matthew Stafford. I want to make that deal. I make that deal, and I still look at a guy like Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart in the second round or something like that.
If you're the Raiders too, is Matt Stafford someone that even makes sense for your timeline right now? Because you need a number one wide receiver.
What's your timeline?
Well, like, you need to build a team, like a good team. You need players. You need a number one receiver. Jacoby Myers is fine. Maybe you'd be your number two, but you might need a number two. You need a running back.
So you're nowhere close is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, is Stafford going to get that type of quarterback? Is it even going to work for what you're building right now?
Well, in my opinion, no. But if I were to make, if we were in a debate class and I had to take the other side, the debate, the side that I would take is you can use the, you can use your draft capital at filling those voids. The problem is, again, 37 years old, I'm pushing for three more years. If you wind up with two, you actually might only get one. Mm-hmm. You might get one and a half, which why I don't fault the Rams for taking this position. Like, we're not going to renegotiate. But if you want to leave and we can move off this 49 cap hit now, so be it.
And on their situation on the flip side, RIP.
And to Jesse's point real quick, he could go to the Steelers right now and make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. He could probably go to Cleveland and make a lot more sense than he would in New York or Las Vegas.